Welcome to Talking Together Tuesdays with me, Ali McClure, and today with my special guest, Medusa Sojourn. These sessions are primarily for parents, and the aim is to equip them with very simple tools for talking together, learning together, and growing together with their children. All of these Talking Together Tuesdays are based on the fabulous Fingertips Reflective Learning Tool, which is a talking together tool to just open up conversations between parents, children, absolutely anybody. And so let's dive in. Good evening, Medusa.
Evening, Ali. Good to see you again.
Absolutely. Anyway, Medusa, you and I
Yes,
met
we
in
did.
Iceland.
We did. Yeah, I think we had a lot of alignment. We were in Iceland on, I think it was, can we call it a conference or a bit of a learning
It
trip?
is a it's a play conference, but it's a practical conference, isn't
Yes.
it? What does Tom call it? It's led by Tom Shea, who's just a fabulous guy. He's at Fafnir, if people don't know who Tom is. It's called International Play Iceland. And what it does is it takes practitioners, specialists, consultants from all over the world, and we gathered together in Iceland. It was a bit like a school trip. They took us out on buses to go to different schools each day, and we got to see fabulous, fabulous practice. And we also got to take over the Reykjavik Town Hall and set up equipment and resources to play with children in Reykjavik. It was such
Wow.
a fabulous opportunity.
But it was a really fabulous conference, wasn't it? We had a lot of professionals and a lot of really interesting people that have been working in early years for a very long time.
Alistair Bryce Clegg was on that one as well, wasn't he? That was
Yeah, he was on
quite
it.
fun. So tell us a little bit more about what makes you tick. What's behind Medusa and your wonderful settings?
So, Ali, I've been working with children since 1996. Initially, as a residential social worker and working in the care industry. So, we worked a lot with children in homes who were coming into care or leaving care mostly. And a lot of my work in sort of the social care sector was on the leaving care teams. And so, working with children who were transitioning from children's homes and foster carers out to the big wide world and learning to kind of be independent and be their own people. 2006 came along and I became pregnant, but it was one of those scans where you go in thinking, am I not? But you come out being told that, yeah, you are pregnant, but actually you're having two. So I was like, oh, okay. I got a really fantastic bug off, buy one, get one free, and had two
Where
boys.
you were going with that.
And had two boys who were actually 18 now, so it was a long time ago. And then my daughter came along on their second birthday. So I had three children under the age of two at one point, and I was like, okay, this is amazing. I'm doing twin studies at home while I'm raising them. I love what they're bringing to me. And I've always worked with children, I've always loved working with children, but I'd never worked with the early years. My practice had always been based around teenagers, just sort of being passionate about wanting to kind of, have the best outcomes for children and knowing that I wanted to kind of be with my children as long as possible, because sometimes ignorance is better, but when you know about attachments and how important they are, you feel like you've got to at least make the effort to kind of be around your own children.
Quite a demand on you with running all of your nurseries and being around for your children as well.
Yeah, at the time that my daughter was one and a half, she was almost two, that I decided that I'd go back to work and realized that I was qualified to manage a children's nursery. Went looking for jobs as a nursery apprentice or a nursery kind of assistant and realized that I was actually qualified to manage one, and then thought, you know what, I'll combine this with a bit of lifestyle design, and ended up buying a small preschool in a porter cabin that was up for sale that was quite local to me. The passion was sort of being able to make a difference for the children that I work with. And we expanded to our second setting 10 years after the first one and only brought our third setting last year.
Been a slow journey,
It's been a slow journey, but I've got to do all the things that I wanted to do and sort
that's
of.
fabulous. But what I'm picking up on is that attachment and that importance of transitions and the social work coming through. That explains an awful lot about the wisdom behind the things that we were talking about when we were doing the prep for this. So I'd like to leap on to transitions because the title of this is Tricky Transitions and Transforming Transitions. Let's go for the positive. What works best? What works really well? And if we're using fingertips, what are you particularly proud of within your transitions?
I've got to start with a little something a little bit broader than just the transitions. We all go through transitional life events all the time. As adults, we go through changes, we'll go through meeting someone new, we'll go into a new relationship, we'll go from being a single parent to becoming an empty nester. And life events can be some of the most stressful things that we go through. And I think kind of like the core of the reason why these things are so stressful to us as human beings is because they are transitions. So if you've ever kind of like, you know, heard the life events sort of being things like marriage, moving in with a partner, moving house, having a baby, why are those things so difficult for us and why do we find them so hard? And the basis of that is the transition. It's transitioning from who you see yourself as into being someone new. And the fundamental sort of things that come up for us, which we don't always realize when we're going through a transition, is, am I safe? Do I matter? And do I belong?
Oh my goodness, can you say those again for us?
Am I safe? Do I matter? And do I belong?
Wow.
And that's what I feel makes transitions difficult when people, A, don't feel safe, when they don't feel like they matter. And then I guess the higher order thinking doesn't make them feel like they belong. But if you think back on a time in your life where you had to make a transition and you struggled with it, some of your struggles would have been around those safety features. Am I really safe here? Is this a secure transition? Am I going to be okay? Are things going to change tomorrow? Do I matter? I think that, am I safe? Do I matter? Do I belong? Plays into a lot of sort of relationship transitions for people as well, you know, when they come out of a relationship. And that is the part of it that is the most devastating because you go from being somebody's sole joint person to going from this person really needs me and wants me around and cares about me into realizing that you don't matter and that you don't belong anymore.
Oh my
And I think
goodness.
that's what makes relationship end so difficult.
I think that's really fascinating, and I think we could probably do an entire podcast on that adult strand
Yeah.
of it. Let's bring it down to the children and look at, am I safe? Do I matter? Do I belong? And how that works for some of the little ones in the setting. I know that lots of people listening will be looking at 4-year-olds transitioning into reception class.
Yeah.
Some of those will still only be 3, and the attachment issues that are connected around that are absolutely huge. How do you overcome that? So what we know, what's tricky in that, and how do you tackle it?
First of all, I think we need to kind of remind ourselves we're dealing with transitions all the time. So you as a practitioner and you as a parent are consistently having to kind of transition your children out of one thing into another. So you would have started from like food type transitions. You would have started from, you know, my child's moving on from formula or breastfed milk onto solid food. And with your first child, you would have been really like anxious about those transitions and really planned them well. By the third child or the second child, you'd probably just be handing them a piece of toast at around 6 months and seeing how they do with it. And I think start from a place where we're confident that we know that our children do sort of struggle with transitions and that we know that it's important for us to do those transitions carefully and slowly. A lot of parents that we have that come to our nursery, you know, we do insist that they have a transition period where they come into nursery with the children and they have a settling in period.
How
We
do
always
parents
have
take to that?
A couple of parents that will be like, oh no, I haven't got time, they'll be fine. I just think it'll be easier for them to kind of just get in and I'll get off and
Get on with it.
that'll be easy. Our policy is that we have at least 3 separate sessions of transition and we insist on sort of like at least 2 hours each for those transition periods. We run those for free because we've realized that sometimes that can be a barrier for parents wanting to attend. It's really important to us that the parents come in, stay with the child, and that the children see that the parent is comfortable in that space and
Wow, yes,
confident,
that's important, isn't it?
and making sure that they're building relationships with their key workers and talking to their key workers so that the child understands that's a safe person to be around. We'll also look at making sure that the parents bring in transitional objects. So that can be things like pacifiers or dummies. It can be things like favorite blankie from home. It can be things like a teddy, or it can just be the most bizarre thing sometimes. Sometimes it's like a parent's t-shirt. We just don't know what that is, but we encourage the transitional object and we encourage those for the first couple of months at least, especially for children that are finding it really difficult to settle. And then we'll use things like photos and photo book and whatever that child's got with them that day. So we have a policy on, say, for instance, we don't generally want children bringing food in from home, but sometimes it's that half-eaten biscuit from the mornings that becomes their transitional object and they absolutely desperately want to bring it in. So we'll cater for that and allow it and make sure that, someone sits with them while they finish their biscuit off, so that they don't feel like they've been called out of something and thrown into something else.
I think that's a really important one. And that was a conversation I was having with a parent the other day, because with all ages, and we are looking at the 4 to 5 year olds and the little ones, but we're also looking at slightly older children, teenagers as well. And very often parents who are very busy, and I've been and still am a busy parent, if we want something done, if we want to talk to our child, we expect them to snap out of the thing that they're doing and straight away tune into what we want them to do. And those things can make them quite anxious and they're a bit taken by surprise. Now, I've got some suggestions as to how we can smooth that, but is that expecting children to just be able to switch instantly from one thing to the next something that you come across?
Yeah, regularly. Transitioning between activities is a big thing for us. Sometimes those transitions can be that practitioners haven't given children enough notice, or they haven't, not all the children have heard them, especially the ones that are engrossed in play. And sometimes it can be those transitions can take too long, so it can be a case of, okay, I've had to finish an activity. I've been told that I'm going to go outside. Actually, now I've got to wait for everyone to go and put their shoes and coats on, and I'm stuck in holding and transition rather than being where I want to be. So there are transitions that need to be quicker, there are transitions that need to be slower, and it just depends on the children that you've got and what you're moving from too.
And I'm going to press pause there. It depends on the children that you've got. And yes, it depends
Absolutely.
on what you're moving from and to. That's
Yeah.
something that's really important, because when I'm looking at transitions, either with professionals or with parents, the actual child that we're dealing with is really important. We can have lots
Absolutely.
of broad brush approaches. Yes, we should do this. And we could give you a whole list of things that you could do for transition, but actually, which ones are important for that particular child? I think that's crucial.
Absolutely. And I think we do, for our children that are transitioning over to school, the basic, the most minimum level things we would do is we would invite their teachers in to come and meet with them and to come and do a story with them in their space. And then most of our nursery have really good link schools that the children are moving on to. So we generally arrange at least sort of three visit sessions where the children will go along with their friends who are attending that school to go and visit that nursery. And we'll send our practitioner to them to come and have like an hour's worth of story, have a look around the school. Practitioners have made lots of albums for sort of their visit to school so they can remember where they're going, and we'll get those albums out every now and then to have a look at what the rooms look
So a
like
bit like
around.
storybooks in your setting,
Absolutely, yeah.
and this is for this particular school, and this is for this one. That's a
Yeah,
lovely idea.
absolutely. And then we'll have like obviously all of the school uniforms in our dressing up box for the last few weeks so they can all pretend that they're wearing their school uniforms and try those on and get to what that looks like and how that looks for people. I find it's so different for each child. Some children just want to know what play toy cars. Children are so funny, they'll come up and be like, well, do they have like a police car and do they have like a fire engine? And that's what they want to know before they
That's
go
important
over.
to them.
It is really important to them. And then some of the children, they'll refer to the school as the one with the giant slide, or I'm going to go to my nursery and I like it because it has a pirate ship, but my school doesn't have a pirate ship, so I don't think I want to go. So it's then about making sure that the practitioners that are there are pointing out things that might be of interest to that child that they're really engaged with. And if your practitioners know your children really well, they'll know what kind of hooks them, what their interest is. We try and introduce what the school has a reading scheme for. So we'll introduce those early and let them pretend to be at school, as well as letting them all have a really good play at role playing school and especially taking charge as a teacher. I think that really helps children to sort of get the
Yeah,
idea that things are a little bit different.
that's
And
lovely.
we'll start doing like formal registers. I know schools probably don't even do that anymore.
That's a huge amount of things that you do there. What I would like to sort of turn the discussion towards is this is called talking. Talking Together Tuesday for parents talking together, learning together, and growing together with their children. What could parents find out about their child that would smooth the transition? And what could parents share with their child that would smooth this transition and then would help them with transitions later in life?
Oh, that's a very deep question, Ali.
It is.
It
That's
is a
what
very
I
deep
do.
question. Okay, so your first question was, what could parents find out about their child that would help them with their transition? It's hard because we think we know our children, don't we? So parents will automatically assume that they know their child, and the child might be worried about one thing or another. But the things that parents should find out about their child is, I think, more around who might be going to war with them and who they like. And I know a lot of commercial play centres are starting to offer transition events for particular schools.
It's very on the ball for marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a couple of play centres like play cafes and role play centres that will do a day for this particular school. So all the nurseries in the area that have children from that particular school will go to that play date. So parents can find out who it is that is attending that particular school. And if we're going with your fingertips thing, then they can find out what their children are really proud of while they're working at nursery and what they want to show their teacher at
And
school.
sometimes with the little children, it's really tricky for them to say what they're proud of. So what I
Yeah.
often do with the little ones is put a little sunshine, and what I'm doing is I'm pretending to draw on the paddy bit of my thumb,
Yeah.
drawing on the pad of their thumb a little sunshine, and the children can then say, "What makes me shine inside?"
Yeah.
But very often, those children who are struggling with transitions might have additional needs, and they may really struggle to say anything about changing schools, let alone about what they're particularly proud of. So what
Absolutely.
we can do is we can actually observe the child and
Yeah.
see, and I'm smiling as I say it, when you're observing a child and you see them just shining, you go, "Oh my goodness, they're having such a lovely time. They're
Yeah.
so proud of themselves." They may not
Yeah.
be able to say that yet.
Yeah.
So what I would say to the parents is really notice what makes your children shine inside.
Yeah. And also, I think really noticing what makes your child feel safe. What do they do when they're feeling a bit nervous? What makes them feel like they matter and like they belong as well? And if you can incorporate that into your inquiries, will your child feel like they belong because they can wear their favorite hair clips and other people are wearing similar hair clips? Will they feel like they belong because they have the same bag as everybody else? That belonging piece
Gosh,
is
you're getting
quite
into real depth with like
an
teenage culture
important.
here as well. I wonder if this was something that was important when you were working as a social worker and for those children going out into different
Yeah, definitely.
environments.
Definitely, definitely was. I think what makes children feel safe, what makes them feel like they matter, and what makes them feel like they belong are the things that I would be observing children for as a parent.
I'm just going to just take a moment on that because I didn't have this tool that you've just shared with me. And I'm thinking, how would it have made a difference to how my boys, I've got three young men in their 20s, how would it have made a difference when they were transitioning if they knew what made them feel safe, if they knew what made them feel like they mattered? And that thing about really being listened to. That's something we've been focusing in on. We've been having lots of conversations about that. And being able to feel like they belong. Goodness me, there's a lot. I'm going to go away and think really deeply on those three. Those are things that parents could share with their children.
And share with the teachers, share with the child's teachers. What does make this child feel safe? For some children, it's being left alone a little bit and having a little bit of distance from other children. For some children, it's cohort, so it can be so varied.
And you don't want to get that one wrong, do you? You want to match what's needed to the
Yeah,
needs of the
and
child.
usually teachers are really good at figuring it out by trial and error. But if they can know straight from the bat, it helps them to then settle your child in and helps them to get the best out of your child. The other things that I would recommend that parents do is at nursery and at school, ask about room transition. So although the parent might be dropping a child off at a particular door and they might start off in a particular room, are there any other room transitions that happen? And has the child been to that room, been supported in that room by someone else or by the parents? So have you been in for an open day? Have you seen the school hall where they do PE? Is that going to be an okay transition, or is that too overwhelming for your children?
And that one, I'll come back to that because that leads in to what I'm going to bring this together with to close us up.
Okay.
So do finish off just before I do that.
And I was just going to repeat the fact that, kind of another top tip would be to make sure that they do have that transitional object or something that's transitional, something that they can put discreetly at the bottom of their bag. I know Clarks did a range of little shoes that you could put toys in a long time ago. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but just little things, little random bits of something that's really important from home that give them that connection with home. And maybe for like your older ones, I'd say, like the ones that are transitioning to uni, like you would save your old pots and pans and send them off with your children because they'll feel like
Wow.
taking something from home rather than buying them new stuff. And
Gosh,
yeah,
then I
send
got
them
it
with their old
completely
bedding.
wrong. I went out and bought lovely new shiny stuff, thinking they won't want the scrappy old stuff from home. But actually, yeah, the thought of using something that your mum's cooked your favourite pasta in for however long, gosh, all of mine have gone now. I can't go back and do that one. But
No.
that's a just
Yeah, and I
fabulous.
think parents do a lot of kind of like, oh, it's a new school term, I've got to go and buy all this new. But sometimes like just having those things that they've had for a while, if it's a favorite, I don't know, if it's a favorite pencil or it's like an old pencil case that
Gosh.
they've put their toys in for years, things like that kind of
Yeah.
have more meaning for children than brand new, flashy, I don't know,
I see
pencil case.
that your background with the social work and helping these children to transition out into really tricky situations comes through and gives a
Thank you.
real depth there. Gosh, you've made me really reconsider. And as I say, I don't have any children. Perhaps my boys will have some transitions in the future, but I would have sent them off with their own duvets and their own
Yeah.
bedding from home rather than
Yeah.
buying them brand new.
Absolutely, yeah.
Gosh. Okay. I'd almost forgotten where I was coming from. Oh, the fingertip. Fingertips is a talking together tool based on the five fingers of your hand. And the one that I'm wanting to talk about for this particular point on the podcast is the middle finger. If you run your other hand, your other index finger along the back of your middle finger horizontally, some people do get a little worried about that. It's like a bumpy road. It's an image like a bumpy road. If you start at the knuckle that's closest to your hand, say, what's tricky and how do I tackle it? So I think that things that take children by surprise can be tricky in transitions. And again, that goes for transitions at any point in your life. I was helping my younger son prepare for his driving test, and I did my best to find out what all the routes were so that he wasn't going to turn a corner or end up on a road that he wasn't prepared for. What's tricky and how did you tackle it? I was with a little lad. I still work in a tiny little school, and we were having a VE Day experience. We've got a lovely lady who I would definitely call her the school chef. I shall be having one of her lovely lunches tomorrow. But last Friday, she did fish and chips for all the children. And as a treat, they got to take them outside in paper boxes and eat them in the playground. And I was there. I was helping them to pick up their boxes and serve the chips and so forth. That sort of being there in that transition. And a little boy who has often struggled with transitions, he happens to have a diagnosis of ASD, autism. And we know that he's not very good with change. So he came up and it was queuing up for his lunch just the same as he usually did. He was with his one-to-one helper just the same as he usually was. And the food that he usually has, which wasn't the fish and chips because the chef knows exactly what he does eat, was put into a box. And he stood there absolutely adamantly. He wasn't moving anywhere. In his mind, the only way you get your lunch at this school is on a particular kind of plate. And he stood his ground.
Fair
And
enough.
I was really in admiration of him that he stood there, he stood his ground. And I was also in admiration of the adults around because his one-to-one and the school chef both knew he wants a plate. He
Yeah.
wants one of these particular plastic plates that we usually have. So his food was put onto that plate, and he was the only child in the school that got to take a plastic plate out to the playground. He wasn't an
Oh.
odd one out, he just had what was familiar to him.
Yeah, and he
So,
needed that. And that's nice that that team could accommodate that for him.
and it's
Yeah.
just the
Yeah.
little things like that that make a
It is.
difference.
It
So
is.
if we start to say to our child, no, you can't do that, no, you can't take that, well, of course, if it's
Yeah.
dangerous or it's a problem. But actually, let's look at ways that we can help accommodate what they need
Yeah.
at any of these
And
tricky.
absolutely, sometimes you can make these changes with the best of intentions, but it doesn't serve the children all the time. So I know that I've had a similar incident with a child who it was their birthday, and birthday child usually gets a special plate and a special hat. But this child didn't want a special plate or a special hat. They just wanted to eat the same as everybody else, the same plate as everybody else, without the special hat, regardless of the fact that it was their birthday. This particular child, they were fairly, neurotypical rather than being neurodivergent. It's just unfamiliarity. Children and people generally just don't like being pushed into unfamiliarity, and sometimes we can be coming from the best place possible. There are people out there that don't like surprise parties.
Yes, I went to one on the weekend.
Sometimes, it can be a little bit scary, but yeah, transition is a big deal. And I think I love how your fingertips talking tools really help look at all of those things that are going to come up for people and help people think about them and work through them.
That's brilliant. Well, I would like to draw things to a close there, Medusa. It's been
Okay.
absolutely fabulous talking to you this evening, and I'm sure our conversations will continue into the future. So, is there anything that you would like to share with the people who are listening if they're interested in the way that your nurseries work or your philosophy or anything else that you're working on? Is there anything you would like to share with our audience?
Thank you, Ellie. Yeah, I do want to share something. We've recently launched Reading Before School program. It's a no stress, no drama, just a little bit of a switch on how we traditionally teach reading. And if that's something that you might be interested in, go over to our website. It's www.booklingo.uk.
Medusa was saying that it starts from the age of 6 months. I have to say that when Medusa told me about this, it was like, if I heard this from anybody else, I would be very skeptical. But I actually was really curious because I trust Medusa and I know she wouldn't do anything that was not in the children's best interest. Fingertips, if you're interested in finding out more, taking your learning further, then there are courses that I can bring to your teams, and also there is the book and the ebook. So please do pop over to www.alimcleur.co.uk. And thank you all for joining us on our Talking Together Tuesday. Myself, Ali McClure, and my fabulous guest, Medusa Sojourn. Thank you very much and see you again.
Thank you, Ali.